All right, let's read our scripture for this morning. I'm going to read the black and you read the green. And you're going to really read well today, right? Okay, that means I probably make a mistake. Okay. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. Well, that's a pretty tough statement, isn't it? That's a tough love statement right there. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner. Now, those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ
that they work in quietness and eat their own bread.
Boy, that's pretty clear, isn't it? You know, when I was young, in the early 60s, actually 59 to 63, even it was black and white, it hadn't come to color yet, there was a show called Dobie Gillis. Now, how many of you remember Dobie Gillis? Okay, that shows you all the old people in the crowd. Okay. And it was really called The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis. And Dobie's buddy was an unkempt beatnik from the Beat Generation. That was just before the hippies, okay, in the 50s. And he sported a goatee, had a sweatshirt and tennis shoes. His name was Maynard G. Krebs. And when Dobie would forget and say the word work, Maynard would get this terrified look on his face and shriek, "Work!" Okay? Now, he viewed work as an infectious disease to be avoided at all costs. So I want to show you a video clip of that.
You run?
Hi, Maynard.
Like, hi, Mrs. G, Mr. G, Dope G. Dope G, that's you, good buddy.
I know, Maynard, I know.
Major, we're in the middle of an important family discussion.
Yeah?
What I miss?
Maynard,
people who butt into other people's conversations are not considered polite people.
Yeah, those kind of people are real low-down type of people.
Okay, start again. The low-down people's ready.
Maynard, no offense, Buster, but why don't you just flake off?
Thanks, Mrs. G. My God, I feel like I'm home.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all right, Mom. I have to go upstairs anyhow and start my homework.
Work!
Maynard, I meant the kind of thing we do at school, not the other kind.
Well, the kind of what?
Work.
Work!
Maynard.
Okay, work! Okay. Apparently, in the church in Thessalonica, it had many Maynard G. Krebs type who refused to work. Now, I think what, as far as we could tell from the background and scholars, that they were sponging off brothers who were working, creating tension in the church. They seemed to have this defiant attitude towards working. And the Apostle Paul given counsel three times when he was there, then in his first epistle and the second epistle. I want to read from the first epistle in 1 Thessalonians 4:11. That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we command you. Now, I realize that's probably a little unclear, right? Not too unclear, is it? And scholars even believe that there's a real possibility, because of all the persecution that was going on in the Thessalonica church, that they thought the rapture was going to happen at any times. And Paul even talked that way, that any moment the rapture could happen. And so why work? Work! Right? Because jobs were, you know, I know very few people like that at Harvest, and it might not be the same problem as being a Maynard G. Krebs, but jobs are plentiful in our society. There's a strong work ethic in our society, and it's the same ethic that God has about work. But at the same time, we're surrounded with Maynards. Government gives support to men and women, but I really want to address this more to the men. The government gives support to men with debilitating issues. And if they're really debilitating, that's great. But it seems many times when it's not to ruin lives, because they lose their will to work. Because they will lose their benefits if they go to work. And there's no in-between gap from one to the other. And still others simply drop off the grid and beg. So we have this whole subculture within our culture of supposed God believers, okay, pretenders who travel from church to church or stand on the freeway exits claiming God bless you. I'm a veteran. Please help me with food and money. And research tells us, and they've done studies on this, that 80% of the veterans on the exits and entrances to the freeway are not veterans at all. They've made it all up because it's a good gagging. So then our veterans who really are having problems can't be taken care of. And I ask myself, why the hard lifestyle? Because life is hard whether you work or beg. And it comes under that same statement I made before that we some people work hard to not work. Yes, we see the addiction problems. We see the bitterness and guilt. We see the post-traumatic stress syndrome problems, and some of them are pretty severe. But at the same time, these same problems within people that who actually function and support their families despite a lot of those drawbacks. And truly, God bless you vets this morning. And I'm not just talking about Vietnam. I'm talking about all the services where you've been in active combat and you come back with post-traumatic stress syndrome. Yeah. Thank you for supporting your families and working in spite of all that. You are the real heroes. You know, sin is in our world, and all of us have issues, and all of us fight temptations or addictions or memories or wrong thinking. A lot of us have bad raising. You go on, and pretty much everybody's affected in some manner or another in their life. And we're living in this parallel entitlement era in our society where some feel like it's owed to them. And so we have all these rights that aren't rights. They're just privileges. And so they feel like it's the right to have a handout and play on our sympathy in whatever manner they can so that they don't have to work a job. Now, I want to give you a good example where I really came to grips with this. Years ago, I went to a show in Baltimore. It was an Ace Hardware show. And we were manning a booth in the Ace Hardware show at the time. And so in the morning, I left my hotel and I walked downtown over to the area where the show would be, and I passed a couple sitting against a building on the sidewalk, and they were destitute, and they had their hat out or whatever it was at the time. I don't even remember anymore. And as I walked to the show, I began to feel more and more guilt. Anybody feel that way at times? Okay. And I thought, man, how I have it so good and they don't have it good. And I thought, okay, listen, you know, when I get back, I'm going to give them something. So later that evening when the show was over, I walked back from the show and I walked into the same area, but they were gone. And I can remember even thinking to myself, God, I'm so sorry. I should have given them something. And I headed for my hotel, and when I got up into my room, I turned on the news as I caught up on the paperwork from the show, and lo and behold, this same couple was on TV being interviewed in their messed up garb, okay? And the news lady asked him, she said, "You seem educated when I talk to you. Why are you begging?" And we soon found out in the interview that the husband was a medical doctor, and she had been a leader in a large organization. And so he told the interviewer, "Look, being a physician, the insurance has gotten too high to make a profit, and so I can't be a physician anymore." And then she said, "Being in the leader of this company meant way too many hours of work and stress." So they both came up with the idea, and that would be that they would park quite a ways away. Both in their, one had a Cadillac and the other had a Mercedes, I think, and they parked their car. They would put on the old garb. They'd reach down in the gutter and do a little dirt on the face, and then they'd walk and they would meet and sit in this place so nobody could follow them, and they would beg. And when they came up with this idea, they also insisted, "We will not beg more than 8 hours." Now, that's pretty good work ethic, isn't it? And they said to the lady on the TV, we make more money now than we ever did together in one check. And it's tax-free. I was stunned. I thought, man, am I glad I didn't get money. And probably the viewers felt the same way. It was kind of stupid for them to do the interview because they probably had to go to some other city, Philadelphia or something like that after that. But, you know, I thought about Paul's phrase in 2 Thessalonians, if you don't work, you don't eat. And the Bible is clearly against the behavior that this couple was doing. And he's clearly against the behavior for us who believe, because God sees it as a matter of choice. It's simply how God looks at it. He's not talking about the truly disabled or the truly those people who have the inability to work. But God meant, and I want to talk especially to you men today, since not because it's Father's Day, it's just kind of what it came up. But I want to especially talk to you men today who are capable. So many, if not most of us, are confused in how we help someone who really needs help, trying to decipher whether they're really in need, or are they on the circuit, or are they taking advantage of us? Do you know what I'm saying? And we see Christ being approached by a beggar, by someone who's crippled, who can't work, and what he wants is a healing, not a handout. And I thought that was interesting. So he says, well, take up your bed and walk. So immediately he does his first act of work. But let me give you a couple more examples that we've had here so you can kind of understand, and you probably have experienced all this in your own life. When we were over at Heritage Academy on 8th and Bridge, a Christian woman, or she at least said she's Christian by her talk, I wasn't convinced, because she was trying to use as much Christianese as she could that didn't really work. You know what I'm saying? And she came with her kids, and at the end of the service, they positioned themselves at the exit door. And I didn't know what this was going on for a couple of weeks. And she would open up a wheelchair and sit in it and put her feet up on the wheelchair and then have their kids hold out a hat to beg as people went past. And of course, they felt foolish for not giving. They thought it was something that we did. And so people were giving them money until I caught them. And as soon as it was over, she would get out of the wheelchair, fold it up, take it down, put it in the trunk of her car, and drive home with her kids. Here's another one. A man named Willie came here asking one day, is there anything he could do as of work? Because he was out of money and he needed a part for his car, and the part in labor was going to come to $99. So I said, yeah, I'll tell you what, if you are willing to work and we need weeds pulled, that was before Jim started taking care of our property and spraying the weeds, okay, we get these pretty bad weeds. If you're willing to pick weeds, I'll pay you $10 an hour to pick those weeds, and you can work it off till you have the $99. And he said, great. He said, is there any chance I can get my wife and daughter to come too so we can all do it together? And I said, yeah. So they went out. They came back, and they went out there, and it was hot out, summer, and they worked and worked and come in and take a break and give them water and stuff, and out they go until they had worked off that $99. Now, the reason I paid him $10 an hour, because I was using the principle, if you don't work, you don't eat, right? And so rather than just give it to Willie, we said you could work it off. And he even came back a couple other times to say, hey, do you have any, by any chance, any spare work that I can do? And if we do, we help him, and if we don't, we don't. But I thought that was pretty cool, because he came back about 3 months later after that in his car fixed, and he said, thank you so much. Thank you, because you kind of pulled us out. I was able to get the car running and get a job. And that's when you feel good about giving, right? But when we give just to give, if it's a particular situation you're familiar with and it is a real need, then for heaven's sakes, we need to give. It isn't that we don't have a giving heart. But when we have circuit people and they're there, and I'm telling you what, if somebody, and I experienced this until I woke up, I would give somebody $10 or whatever they were asking for gas because they were traveling from, they all traveled from Fort Collins to Colorado Springs and they'd come by our church 5 or 7 miles in to get $10 for gas. I never figured that one out. I mean, I probably did figure it out, but as soon as we gave them money, then in came all these people, 2 to 3 a week, because we got tagged as the giver. And we had to stop doing that, because if I gave to every person, or really if Anthony gave benevolence to every person in here, we couldn't run this church. We'd have to shut the doors and declare bankruptcy because they come in. And so we can't do that. But what we can do is be able to make the choice to those needing help that's hard on our hearts. And I don't think I'm the only one, that we have to follow God's principle. If you don't work, you don't eat. Solomon says this, "The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." Proverbs 21, 25, and 26, "The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare." You know, I just have to confess it was difficult, I don't know why, for me to talk about this. But I think we need to hear it, don't we? We need to hear it because there are takers, and God's telling them, don't do it. You're only feeding their machine. Work. Men, if you're out of work and you're being lazy, work. I look around, I don't see anybody, but there may be one of you here. Oh, I'm going to get you. No, I'm just kidding. But let me just close with the scripture for today. "But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly," and disorderly means lazy or not working, "and not according to the tradition which he received from us." For you fathers, happy Father's Day. Let's pray. Father, we come this morning. Lord, I am so glad that you gave us a principle to walk by that helps us in this ministry, that helps us personally. And Lord, may we help those who really need help, and may we refrain from helping those who are capable of working, so that we don't keep perpetuating their problem. Lord, you've told us to do it. I haven't told us to do it. You have told us to do that. And so, Lord, will you help us to be able to decipher between the two and give when we can give, but not give when we shouldn't, and maybe help them work.